Take your Bibles and let's go to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to begin reading at verse 12. Find your place if you would. Colossians chapter 3. We're preaching a few messages on the joy of approaching God. The joy of approaching God. I'm so glad that we can approach God. What a joy it is to be able to approach God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about approaching God in faith. You cannot approach God unless you approach Him with faith. We have to believe that He is, that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And Hebrews reminds us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. So we need to approach God by faith. If you don't have faith and exercise faith, you're probably spinning your wheels approaching God. We have to believe that He's going to hear us, honor our prayers, and do things that He wants to do that might magnify His name. Today we want to talk about approaching God biblically. We want to approach God biblically. Yes, by faith, but yes, biblically. And look at our text in Colossians chapter 3. We'll begin with verse 12. Paul says to those believers, "Put on therefore as the elect of God," that is, saved folks, "holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, emotions of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." There's a message alone in itself, but we won't tarry there. "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." And then he says, notice verse 16, our key text verse, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, and not just any kind of songs, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Especially the first part of verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. If we're going to approach God, we're going to have to approach God the way the Bible says we should approach Him. I believe that if you're saved, it is only natural that you want to worship God. Don't you believe if people really know Him and love Him and they've truly been born again, they want to sing and they want to worship and they want to give Him glory and give Him praise? I believe that's a natural thing if indeed you are really born again and saved. So if we're going to worship God, we want to do it biblically. And if we're going to worship God biblically, then we need, first of all, Bible study. We need to study our Bibles. You see, the Bible, I believe, is the beginning place of worship, to tell us how to worship and what God expects when we worship God. The people that I know that worship God, I've noticed that those who really enter into worship service, all the others, it is people that really know the Bible and have spent time in the Word of God. And the more we know about God through His Word, the more we're going to want to worship God. The more we read the Bible, the more it's going to motivate us to give God praise. So we need to get into the Word of God. And you know our position at this church is that we believe that this Bible has absolutely no errors in it. None. Zero. Zilch. It is the preserved, protected Word of God brought to us down to this age. And I don't know why, after 400 years plus of proving itself to be what it is, why we'd want to change. the Word of God. There are many reasons that we stay with the King James Version, not just tradition, not just because we want to stick with something old-fashioned. There are reasons, and I don't have time to teach you right now those reasons, but I have in my hand the Word of God that is without error. I firmly believe that, and I could prove that to you, I believe, with the right amount of time. One of our young men came up to me Wednesday night after the service. I was talking to some folks, and he said, "We're studying this in Master Club, and they've told us we shouldn't do this and should do this, and this is right, and that's right, and that's what the Bible says." But he said, "I have a question for you, Pastor." I said, "What's that?" He said, "How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? How do we really know this is God's Word?" I said, "Sit down here and let's talk a while." And I went into some of the ancient manuscript stuff, and I didn't go into that very long. And the received text and all of those things and why we believe that. And there are very important reasons for that. To go back and say this is most like the most ancient manuscripts that we have anywhere. This is the accurate Word of God. And when you translate in other languages, they need to go back to, and they do go back to it, and try to go back to those ancient manuscripts, like Bill Patterson and those who work with him. But I talked to him about that. But other reasons we believe this is the Word of God. One is its scientific accuracy. You cannot find a scientific error in the Word of God. In fact, the scientists are still catching up. Amen. If they had listened to Job years ago, they wouldn't have spent so much money trying to figure out if the world was flat or round. But now Job is the oldest book in the Bible. And then because of its archaeological accuracy. You see, archaeology never disproves the Bible. They'll come up with some bone or something every once in a while and say, "Aha, aha," or some deal and say, "Well, look, the Bible said he was the king during that time. We've discovered something here that says another guy was a king, so the Bible's wrong." Only to keep searching and find out that there was a father and son who were co-regents, and the Bible was right all the time. We believe the archaeological accuracy of it, the historical accuracy of the Bible. And not only that, the Bible can tell you what's going to happen out in the future. And years back when they didn't even know. You say Russia, and they'd say, "What? What's Russia?" But the guys who studied the Bible said there's going to be a power raised up. And they knew what it was going to be and where it was going to be located. They also knew that the Jews were going to go back into their country. How did they know that? Because of the prophetical accuracy. And history proves that the Bible is accurate. To me, the greatest reason I believe this Bible, of those other reasons, that it is the Word of God, is its transforming power. You can't turn alcohol into stockings and groceries by preaching Socrates and Plato and some kind of philosophical garbage that they're throwing out there today. You preach the Word of God. The Word of God has power. People's lives are changed because they believe this book. And we need to spend time reading and studying the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture. Not part of it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of it. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness. Not Shakespearean poetry, but the blessed Word of God. And so John tells us in 5:39 this: search the Scriptures. Folks, are you spending time searching the Scriptures? Searching the Scriptures. That's not a little ditty devotional every morning, and I'm for that, and that's good. But search the Scriptures, not to get online and get maybe somebody that's popular that you know that has a little devotional. It's much more than that. That may help you kickstart the day, but it's much more than that. Search the Scriptures. Search, research, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which Jesus said, testify of me. The Scriptures testify of me. If you want to know God, folks, know the Word of God. Know the Word of God. And we need to approach God biblically. You should never Listen, you should never blindly trust a church just because they have a steeple and a man called clergy or a pastor. Amen? Not just trust them. Just because they have that and they have a building and it looks like a church building does not mean they're right. Well, how are you going to know who's right? I want to know who's right, don't you? So how are you going to know who's right? Well, my professor told me so. No. Some of those guys are wrong too, especially in these liberal seminaries today. I want to know what's right. How am I going to know? The Word of God. You need to pick out a church that is based on the Word of God. Not just anybody. Just because they sing Amazing Grace doesn't mean they're right. Just because they have some of this other stuff does not mean that they are right. Don't blindly trust a church. Don't blindly trust some denomination just because it's a powerful denomination. They may be dead wrong. Don't follow somebody that claims to be a prophet just because they tell you they're a prophet. And if they tell you they're an apostle, you tell them you know they're lying because the Bible says there are no more apostles left after the apostles that were there in the Word of God. There aren't any more. And so, how do we know that? And how can you be so dogmatic, Pastor? Because of the Word of God. Because of this book, I can be dogmatic about it. So we need to come to the Word. And by the way, you need to come to it yourself and study it yourself. You guys think your wife can study the Word for you? They cannot. And vice versa. And teenagers, your mom and daddy may know the book, but you need to know the book. Search the Scriptures. And Jesus said, you'll find me in those Scriptures. And then that's why we need biblical preaching. We need biblical preaching. We need to search the Scriptures and to have Bible study, but we need biblical preaching. Why? It reveals God. Bible preaching reveals God to people. Martin Luther said, when I declare the Word of God, I offer sacrifice unto Him. That's the way he felt about it. And he was a great man of God. And he offered the preaching of the Word of God as if he were offering a sacrifice to God. This is my sacrifice to you. And we need Bible-based preaching. Many movements fail to realize these things because there's no Bible preaching. And they never really enter into God's presence because there's no Bible preaching. The paramount thing in our kind of churches is the preaching of the Word of God. It is not our job to entertain you. It is not our job to scratch your little itch. It is not our job to make you feel good and go home feeling good. It's the Word of God that is preached to people as they are, and when they hear it, God blesses His Word and brings people under conviction. That's why some people can't take a Bible preaching church. They get under conviction and they say, I'm just not going back there anymore. I don't like what he's saying. But friend, if it's based on the Word of God, God is speaking to you through the Word of God. Bible preaching reveals God. And many churches today learn very little about God. Even some of the big churches that run 5,000 and 6,000 in their churches, many times they are as shallow as a tadpole hole. And they don't get the Word of God. There is no separation. They come in the way they leave the way they came in, and they dress the same, they talk the same, they go to the same places, they drink the same alcohol, they tell the same dirty jokes. There's no separation in their lives because they have not been exposed to Bible preaching. And some little preacher gets up with his shirt tail out and his red tennis shoes and gets up and says a few things for about 10 minutes and everybody feels good and they've been entertained for the other 45 minutes and they go home and the Word of God is not preached and they don't even know Bible doctrine. And you say, well, what about Bible doctrine? I say, well, we just don't want to get into that. Listen, look at what Paul said in the preaching of the Word of God in the early church, that I preach to you this doctrine. Know what the Bible says. And some churches, they walk away feeling absolutely no closer to God. Many services are very liturgical. You know, they go through all the forms, all of the signage, and all of the different things. By the way, have you ever seen a stuttering priest? He goes just like that. That was a bad joke, I know, but that's it. You're sort of a bad joke yourself. But at any rate, they go through the liturgical stuff, genuflexing and kneeling and saying certain things and going through all of the liturgy. And 95% of it is not based on the Word of God. To think that when you take communion that it turns into the literal blood and the literal flesh of Jesus Christ is nothing short of cannibalism. The Bible never teaches that. The Bible does not teach that. Oh, I love the Lord's Supper, and it's precious, and it has meaning, and it's tender, but it doesn't say that. We go through all of the liturgical things and leave not even knowing the Bible. And say, well, I felt good. It felt good. I did all this religious stuff. But was it biblical? Was it based on the truth of the Word of God? And some go to the emotional services. And those preachers know how to work them and manipulate them emotionally and get them worked up with music and worked up with what they say. Listen, if I wanted to become a millionaire, if that was my goal, Brother Rigsby and I could go out here and do it upright. I would heal him first. And I'd get him going. And I'd have him. I said, Brother Rigsby, are you healed? And he'd say, yeah. I said, run across the platform. And he'd run over there and turn around and hallelujah. And I said, run back, hallelujah. Now, if you want to be healed, send me in some money. If you want to have money, send me some money and start the seed. Why don't you start your own cotton-picking seed? Why don't you start your own seed? Why would you need everybody else's money? Because a lot of them are nothing but shysters and racketeers, and it is not based on the Word of God. Amen. And they have become millionaires and drive their Jaguars and all the rest and have mansions with swimming pools inside and million-dollar houses like Bishop so-and-so's around in other places, and they don't preach the Bible as they should. Now, some do a little more of that, but some don't. I'm just telling you, we don't need liturgical stuff and emotional stirring up just for the emotional part of it and the prosperity theology. if you'll just believe, you're going to have all this, the Rolex and the fancy cars and all of that. And some of those people fall for that, and then when they don't get it, you couldn't get them back in church because they say that preacher lied to me. Today, more than ever, we need Bible truth. Bible truth. A little boy went up to an usher and said, I want to give this to the preacher. He said, son, you can just give it to me and I'll put it in the offering. He said, no, I want to give it to the preacher. He said, well, your parents gave it to you to put in the offering, didn't they? He said, no, I've got to give it to the preacher. The usher said, why are you so insistent that you've got to give it to the preacher? He said, my dad said that he is the poorest preacher that he's ever heard. So, I heard about a Baptist preacher that asked for a discount. And he said, you know, I want a discount. Well, you want to give me my discount? I'm a poor preacher. He said, yeah, I know. I was in your service last Sunday. I heard you preach. The problem, listen, is not delivery style. Are you listening? The problem is not delivery style. We're all different. God made us different. Genetically, we're different. Our temperaments are different. It's not the delivery style that makes the difference. It's the Bible content. It's basing it on the Word of God. That's why a man could read the message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and scores of people get saved, as the Puritans used to do it, as you heard someone referring to that recently. Bible preaching uplifts God's works and God's work. He talks about, Bible preaching gives glory to God. Talks about Him being the Creator. You're not here by accident. God made you. God made this earth. I talked to a guy the other day that he's so well educated that he's been educated plumb out of believing that God really started this whole thing. Well, what's your theory? Well, who put it into motion? And some of the laws that they go by, the laws of thermodynamics, that an object is not going to be put in motion unless some object in motion puts that object in motion. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you who that was. That was God. Amen. God did that. And so, Bible preaching lifts up God. It talks about His sovereignty and His providential control. That's why I'm not worried about what's happening in our country and the world today to the point. I may not like some of the things, but I'm not going to worry myself to death about it. I'm here to try to win souls and preach the gospel, and God can handle anybody in any situation. I think we ought to pray and do all of that. Bible preaching glorifies Jesus. It glorifies Jesus. The central theme should always be Jesus and redemption. Always, always. People say, well, why do you always preach the gospel? Why do you always have to talk about how you get saved in every message? Why do you go through that deal about being lost and Jesus dying and they need to be saved? Why do you always have to do that in our kind of churches? Well, listen to what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 2:2. Paul said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Christ and Him crucified." Paul said, if I'm going to preach, I'm going to bring in Christ. And I'm going to tell you you're a sinner and Jesus died for you. And that's the only way to heaven is to accept Christ as your Savior. I always try to do that at a funeral, at a wedding, or anywhere I'm preaching. Because I believe I will stand before Almighty God. Every crowd I've ever spoke to, every one of them, I need to tell them how to be saved. And I will be held responsible to God for whether I do or whether I don't. I've been to a lot of funerals in my lifetime, and I'm always grieved when the guy gets up there and talks 25 minutes about the person, and I think you ought to talk about the person, and then they never mention Jesus, never tell that crowd how to go to heaven, never tell them that they got saved by grace. What a tragedy. And they will be held responsible for that before God. We need to see ourselves in the mirror. The reason some of us are not shaping up spiritually is because we're not looking at the mirror of the Word of God. This book will shape you up. You look at it and it's going to shape you up. You don't have to read very far in the Bible before God begins to get a hold to your heart and say, hey, I think you need to deal with this. I think you need to look at this. You need to handle this situation. And Paul's preaching focused on the gospel, and the preaching of the Word of God is like a mirror. It's not so much the facts or the statistics in the Word of God, but the personal response to the mirror is what is key. How, not just knowing it, a lot of people know it. It's what you do with what you know. It's how you respond to what you know in the Word of God. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. We have a lot of Christians that are hearers only. They can hear it and say, that's good, that's all right, I agree with him, that's good. But they never put it into practice. They are hearers only, not doers. We need to be doers. If we stay in the Word of God, it's going to change our lives. Let me tell you what will change your marriage if you're having marriage problems. What will change your marriage is getting in the Word of God. And what a change your marriage is doing things like God says, forgive somebody when they've done wrong, if they ask for forgiveness. So, well, you just don't know what he did or what she did. I just can't forgive. Well, thank God, God doesn't feel that way about you. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Well, so I just can't forgive him for what he did. Well, God forgave you and you've done a whole lot more than what he did or she did in your lifetime. You say, well, I never did that. You broke the law, didn't you? If you've broken it in one point, it's just like breaking the chain. You've broken the whole chain, dear friend. And you have to forgive. It'll help your marriage. Getting in the Word of God, it'll change your lifestyle. if you stay in the Word of God. It'll change our homes, our youth and our children and all of that. It probably might even affect your career. You see, our career shouldn't just be to make money and have material gain and to get things and stuff. Our career ought to be to serve God. I don't care if you're a dentist or a doctor, or if you drive a garbage truck, or if you're a plumber or a carpenter or whatever it may be. Your number one job is to serve God the best way you can. That's just sort of a way of keeping food on the table. But our job is to serve Almighty God. And I think we ought to attend church worship service. Somebody says, I just need to get the pastor off of my back, and I'll do my spiritual duty. It's not just emotional, my dear friend. It's meaningful. It's the Word of God. God's holy word. Enter into His presence. Read the Word of God. Hear the Word of God. Do the Word of God. And I believe that Bible preaching is preaching that will guide and lead the child of God. Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. How are you going to know how to go and where to go in this dark, dreary, godless culture that we have? The Word of God. It's like a light, a lamp. It guides us, and that's what we need to stay in. Those of you that have piloted or flown a plane know they have something called vectors. They're like little maps and maybe a radio signal, and you line up with that vector or those vectors, and you stay in that vector, and then that'll take you perhaps to the blue runway lights, and you'll land that plane right and safely because you followed the vectors. And that's what we need to do with the Word of God. The Word provides us with the vectors. They're there. Stay on signal with this. Get in the Word. Stay in the Word. Approach God with the Word. Read the Word. Hear the Word preached as often as you possibly can. Approach God based on the Word of God. And here's what I'm asking you to do today. This is why I'm preaching this message. I want you as believers, you that are saved, which is the vast majority of everybody in here, to make some commitment to God to spend more time in the Word of God. And if you're not making time like you should, listen, we have time for TV. You know how many hours? It's hours and hours and hours on average that adults are watching television. I just read it, I think it was like on average around 6-7 hours a day or something like that. How much time do we spend in the Word of God? We are on the computer. Oh, we're on Facebook. Love Facebook. We twit on Twitter, and Twitter on twit, and we do all of that stuff, and they have their place, and all of that kind of stuff. We spend time on the social media. We spend time with television. We've got them. I mean, they're big. I've got one of those great old huge big ones now in my living room, saved up for years and finally got it. You don't believe me, do you? That's the truth. And then, but I don't let that thing control me or any of those things. We've got to spend time in the Word of God. You say, yeah, but you're a preacher. You don't even have to work. You can spend time in the Word of God. Well, all I can do is invite you to come follow us one day, the whole staff, and see. Somebody said, what do y'all do up there all day long? Oh, we just twiddle our thumbs. Hope you'll call. We're just waiting on you. I just sitting there and said, man, I'm bored. I wish somebody called. Now, most people don't understand and realize. Let me tell you. You say, well, you're a preacher. You'd spend time in the Word. I spend time in the Word studying for messages, but I spend time in the Word for my heart. A separate time, a different time. Prayer time and Bible reading time, just to see what God wants to say to me and how He wants to straighten my life out. And I'm begging and asking you to make some commitments today to open your day daily with prayer and Bible reading and make time for it. You come into the presence of God based on the Word of God, the knowledge of the Word of God. And then, yes, If you're here without Christ and you don't know when you die, you're going to heaven. I want to tell you one more time. You're a sinner. And so you call me a sinner? Yeah. So am I. Well, who told you you could say that? God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, but I'm pretty good. But are you perfect? Well, I'm not perfect. That's why you need a Savior. Because you can't get into heaven without perfection. And you're a sinner. And Jesus died and paid your sin debt according to the Word of God. He paid every bit of it. You say, you just don't know what I've done, preacher. If you knew what I'd done, you'd know why I'm reluctant to ask God to save me. Oh, no, 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 no. You're a primary prospect for God. He wants to put all of our past under the blood of Jesus and save our souls. And He'll do it. All you have to do is be willing to turn your life over to Him, repent, turn to Him, and say, I believe You died for me on the cross. You paid my sin debt. And You said, if I would ask You, You would save my soul. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not hope, maybe, shall be saved. These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. You say, that's arrogant. No, that's Bible. Right there. And you can be saved too. Would you do it? Let's stand. Our heads are bowed. We'll have a word of prayer and then we'll ask you to come. We'll be singing hymn of invitation. May God help you to come. Believe the Word of God. This book, this perfect book, tells you that God loved you and Jesus died for you. I want you to receive Him today. And could I challenge you as a Christian to say, oh God, I will make more time for reading the Bible. And I'll do what it tells me to do when I learn what it says to do. And I'll base my life and my approach to You, my coming to You based on the truth, the eternal truth of the Word of God. Father, I pray now You would speak to our hearts. May You bless the Word of God and help us to approach You in faith and approach You based on the Word of God. And I pray that You would challenge our hearts today to spend more time in Bible reading, more time approaching You through Your Word and prayer. Help that person who needs to be saved today without Christ, that they would humble themselves even as Jesus did when He went to the cross. They would come and receive Him as Savior. May Your perfect will be done. Lord, there may be some here today looking for a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church home. I pray You'd lead them, if that be Your will. In Jesus' name.